Hey guys, it's our 10th episode. We're going to be talking about working inside a children's hospital, moving out of New York City, Zoom tech nightmares, and more. Coming up. My name is Chad Williams. And there's Zeev way over in there in the back. We're going to change that. I'm going to put you front and center, little lady. Hi.
Woo!
Whoa, we are once again sharing things as we go live, because that's what you do, right?
I already shared.
You already shared.
I
High
did.
Five. Boom, look at that.
It's been 10 weeks, ladies and gentlemen.
10 weeks. But before we get to that,
okay.
We're the Puppet Parent Podcast. You can check us out at puppetparentpodcast.com. Coming at you live every Sunday at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. If you're on Facebook, on YouTube, YouTube auto-generates subtitles, aka closed captions. So if you're into that, that's where you should go.
Facebook does too. See?
Oh, look at that. Amazing.
Yeah.
How does it do it?
I don't know.
Who knows?
It just does.
I was trying to tell somebody today, a good friend was like, about like how to generate auto subtitles in Facebook. And it's like, it's magic.
It just is doing it.
Magic.
But I think maybe it has to do with the software that you use or something, because it wasn't doing it at the beginning when we were first doing this.
Yeah, so thanks Restream.
Yeah.
That's where those $15 a month just goes into captions. So anyway, thank you.
Yeah. Hey.
So it's been...
10 weeks.
10 weeks.
Okay. 10 weeks.
And it's also been 10 years.
Of what?
Of us being a puppet company.
Oh, yes, that's true. 10 years of us performing together and 10 weeks of us quarantining together.
Over 70 days.
Yes.
It's amazing.
Yes.
Oh, so how do we feel?
It's been a thing.
10 weeks into being safe,
mm-hmm.
right, and supporting and respecting everyone around us by staying indoors.
Well, I'm ready for things to relax a little bit. I feel like the last couple of months have been a little stressful because at my other job, I have another job. I work for the Jim Henson Foundation. Hi, anybody who might know what that is. I'm the manager, and I'm also the only employee, and we were working towards our board meeting, and our board meeting just happened, and it happened online, and it went really well, but there was a lot of preparation to lead up to that, and there was a lot of things that needed to happen from home.
Yeah.
In the midst of children, and then in the midst of me staying up late. And so, you know, any of you other parents who are also working from home and also doing schoolwork and also, you know, doing house stuff like dishes and laundry, I see you in solidarity, and it is tough. So that is what was really happening the last couple of months. And now that has passed. Mm-hmm. And
like,
you're showing
look,
that that's look, what's
I,
happening.
I wasn't, it, look, there's us. Great.
Turtles all the way down. So I am looking forward to the next couple of weeks. Also, we have a big announcement. Do we want to announce anything?
It's
today?
In the title of this video.
Oh, it is.
Yeah.
What is the title?
The title says, Puppet Parent Podcast, Episode 10, : Leaving NYC.
Oh, well, not forever. Hold on. Don't get excited.
Yeah.
Not forever, because this is our home. We want to be here, but the prospect of staying indoors for the entire summer with our air conditioners in, it just doesn't sound good. Our cat is confused.
Our cat wants to go.
This is our bedroom.
Hi.
If you can't tell, it looks all professional.
Oh,
but
all the way.
Oh, I did. I didn't need to lock her in. There she goes. Okay. But we're going to vacate to Chad's parents' house, to the country for a couple of months.
Yeah.
And we have a residency, and we're really excited about it. We have secured a residency with Springville Center for the Arts, and so we're going to be there broadcasting, doing workshops, and utilizing their internet, because we will be very rural, and at Chad's parents' house.
Right.
Internet. Nope.
So, right, they live in the middle of the woods, middle of nowhere, which is great because you can just run around and there's nobody.
Yes.
Which is exactly, I think, what everybody needs right now, is to go out to a safe place where there is actually nobody and run around without a mask there, because in that way you can get all those big feelings out of the way and feel like you're, you know, doing your thing and And you don't have to bother anybody.
I have not been outside without a mask on in over 2 months. Even today, I had to take out the garbage and the recycling and everything, and just thinking, oh my gosh, how nice will it be to be able to take out the garbage and not wear a mask?
Yeah.
Like, just things like that, that just these constant reminders of how crazy everything is and how panicky and stressful everything is all the time. And I'm just really looking forward to being able to step outside and then come back inside and not have this panicky feeling all the time. So I realize that we're very lucky to be able to leave the city, that we have some privilege, that we have family who are saying yes, that we can come and stay, that they have space for us, that we were able to have a residency someplace, that we're able to bring all of our shows and our puppets with us. So we're just very thankful, very, very thankful that all of that has worked out so far. So the big move is going to be...
No, I want to pause you right there.
What?
I want to remind you that this is the internet.
Right.
You don't want to give out too much personal information, like when you're moving.
Happening. Going to be happening
where
soon.
Where you're moving, what your address currently is.
Right. Don't stalk us, but I'm just saying that it's going to be happening soon and that we're very excited about it. And... But, you know, to pretty much anybody who's been following us online, things are going to pretty hopefully feel like the exact same. It's just going to be that we will be in a new location and maybe we'll seem a little more well-rested. Maybe.
It's kind of like, I don't know. It's like we finally gotten comfortable with this space, though. It's like everything we worked really hard to achieve. Mm-hmm. Like we have this lighting setup, this beautiful backdrop, thank you very much to our neighbors over in Sunnyside for that, and like everything works and we're super like snug as a bug in a rug, but that rug's gonna get really hot.
It's gonna get really,
really
hot
soon.
Yeah.
And the air conditioner is gonna have to, like, if you have to turn off an air conditioner in this room to stream for an hour, it's gonna get insanely hot in here. And those are not great working conditions, and we just want our kids to like play and run outside. So we filed the thing on the USPS website. It's only a temporary move, not a permanent move.
Yeah. So Johnny Cockworks is asking if we're moving forever. Yep. We're not moving forever.
Only
we love
temporary.
New York City. We love you, New York.
Yeah, we'll be back. But there's no reason to be in New York City right now. You know, there's zero reason. Everything that makes a city awesome in terms of, like, the opportunities, the entertainments and stuff like that, like, all that shut down, and it's not coming back anytime soon.
Well, there's actually... but I want to say that I have very mixed feelings about leaving, because this is our home. Mm-hmm. And nobody wants to leave their home. And I've never actually left our home for this amount of time before. Yeah. So I'm happy sad about the whole thing. I'm looking forward to some of the things that will be exciting and easier and more fun for everybody. And then I am a little nervous about getting everything set up and feeling comfortable and making sure that we're being safe, because in some ways we've had less interaction with people here because you can get anything delivered here.
Mm-hmm.
It's very easy. Whereas there, we're really going to have to think things through. Only one grocery trip every couple weeks. I mean, you can do groceries for a couple weeks out there because they have two refrigerators and stuff.
We might be able to get stuff delivered. I'm not sure.
Well, we'll see. Or curbside pickup. I don't even know. I don't know. But I know that life is different there. I mean, we both grew up in Western New York, but we haven't lived out there. Like, lived.
Yeah, this is
in
like
a long
out,
time.
Like, way out, and where it's just like, who you got on in your neighborhood? You got the cows, like dairy farms. You got the abandoned houses and fields, and that's it. And that's awesome. Mm-hmm. Shenlin Wu says, will we still do puppet shows while we are away? Yes. And that's not changing. And so hopefully, mm-hmm. Residency at this local performing arts center Like Z said, like you won't tell the difference. Like, we're just gonna keep broadcasting and keep doing our daily stuff.
Mm-hmm. But we'll be doing shout outs to Springville Center for the Arts, and you might see some more integration with them as the summer goes on, and as things start to phase in more, there might be ways that we can give back to that community to say thank you so much for letting these city kids come back home for a while.
Yeah. So we'll see. I mean, we're leaving a place where there's, 20,000 dead plus, that's a conservative estimate, to a place where there's maybe one person that people know maybe got sick. Like, that's it. And their hospitals are not overwhelmed. And like their emergency workers aren't going through PTSD. And so it's like a completely different place. And I'm sure, I think one of the first things that we're going to see when we get there is seeing people walking around, like, oh, this is how you can get into like an attitude where it's like, this thing is like fake. This is a hoax. You know, like, nobody's sick. Look around. You know, there's no immediate, death like lurking outside your door.
Right. Well, I think that right now here in the city, everybody is in a place of collective mourning now, that we're all really grappling with the numbers and the, I was looking at the New York Times today, and it was something like one in every 450 people, something like that, has died from our city population. One in every 450 people. So.
And that's like one subway, you know?
I mean, it's pretty soon, if you don't already know somebody who has passed away from this and you live in New York City, you will. I'm surprised that you don't, if you don't already. And it's not funny. I shouldn't be laughing at all. It's tragic, and it's been horrible. And
I'm sure that when the schools open back up, there's already been teachers that have passed, and people will let others know, like, as we come back together, because that's part of like the collective mourning grieving process, is like talking to people about it. So I think those are the stories that I think should be told, not the whole like, oh man, wacky shenanigans happened when we were all quarantined.
I think it's all valid, because it's all part of the experience of what's been happening and how people are coping and managing in this time. Mm-hmm. That it isn't a war, but there's so many similarities to war in terms of, because I used to read a lot about the experience of different peoples during World War II. I was always very interested in that subject. And one of the things I was very interested in that wasn't written about as much for like young adults was the experience of after the war. And there was one two-book series that I really loved. One was called, the first book was The Upstairs Room, and then the second book was called The Journey Back. And I highly recommend both the books, but I really think that The Journey Back has such an interesting perspective on going back to your home after being in hiding for a couple years and all the things that are different from a child's perspective. And that includes like people being dead, buildings not existing anymore, your stuff has been looted. Like, I mean, all the things that nobody really talks about in terms of like a human experience. Mm-hmm. And I just think that this whole situation is going to have such lasting effects, and that we're not able to mourn in the way that our brains and our hearts need to, because we are all apart from each other. And so there's no real way of being able to fully see how different everything has become, because we aren't experiencing what our daily life is going to be again. And I think that as that starts to happen, it's going to become more clear what changes are here to stay, and then what, and who's missing, right?
Right.
There's going to be a lot of people that who is missing and what is missing. There will be a lot of things that were here before and are not here now.
Right, and we're not talking about haircuts.
No, that's not what I mean.
No, I mean the national dialogue about, like, you know, we demand this, and, you know, it's we demand haircuts. It's not like, hey, fix this problem. There's going to be 100,000 of us gone while you're golfing. We demand haircuts. I think it's the hypocrisy of it all is insane.
Well, and I keep waffling back and forth between how important is school right now and how important is my child's mental well-being and how important is my mental well-being, and, like, trying to, like, connect those dots into some kind of weird shape that doesn't exist. Like, some days it's like, you know what? They need to do at least a couple of worksheets. They just do. Like, come on. And then other days I'm like, you know what? We are in the middle still of a really messed up, stressful situation. Like, why should I be forcing them to do anything except be okay? Are they okay? Are they happy? Great. Great. Am I okay? No. I'm stressed. You okay? I'm stressed. I think once we're settled in our new place, like, having a plan is helpful, but not being in the next phase of it is like this looming unknown, because we don't know if the internet's going to be what we need it to be. We don't know where we're going to hang our curtain.
There'll be a week of
will
transition.
All the stuff fit in my car? We don't know. So I
that's never good.
Yes. Will the rats and the cat find their happy place? We're taking all the pets. I mean, it's just a lot. So yes.
Let me lighten the mood a little bit.
Okay. Sorry. I am a gray rain cloud, people.
Yeah,
I'm
watching the silver veins, just the hairs just
that's
sprout.
That's my sparkle.
Sprouting.
That's my sparkle.
That's right. You're sparkling more each day,
Sweetie. I am.
Yeah, you're getting like a new sparkle.
Hey, by the way.
Yes.
Speaking of each day, do you know what tomorrow is? So a couple people have already said it.
It's Memorial Day.
And it's...
Yeah, it's our anniversary.
Our anniversary.
Wow, you remembered. Usually I'm the one.
It's 12 years.
Yay.
12 years tomorrow.
Mwah, happy
Yay.
Anniversary.
Happy anniversary.
We got married by a lake.
We did. By my cousin. My cousin married us. Yeah. My cousin Michael. Hi, Michael.
And then we partied with all our friends. It was a very quick ceremony. Yes. And everyone was very thankful for that. And I met a ton of people who would pop up later in social media and be like, hey, remember I saw you at your wedding? And I was like, nope. This is the thing, is like, never expect the bride or the groom to retain anything about the wedding, like the wedding day, you know, what happened, like, before, after, I mean, except for maybe, like, the important things, like the vows and stuff, because, like, you're in that nervous cloud where it's like things are happening and you can't stop the train from, like, you know, like, it's going, you know, so, like, it was kind of like this blur. Like, I remember, like, picking up somebody's beer and just, like, slamming it that day. Just, like, before I even knew who it was. It's like, nope, down it goes. And that's not me at all.
No.
You know, so if somebody was like, hey, I met you at your wedding, I was like, I got, like, 5 strong memories from that day. Like, good memories. Solid ones.
It was a lot of fun. We had video games and a puppet show. Mm-hmm. Our friend Nappy performed shadow puppets, and they were so great. We had, like, a kids' craft table. We got married outside, and somebody said, you got married by a lake. Your cousin's a lake. No, no, no. We got married next to a lake by my cousin, Michael, who is a judge. And so he married us, and I was so happy that he got to marry us. And we got married in a horseshoe. Like, I mean...
We didn't get married in, like, an actual horseshoe.
Was, like, in a horseshoe shape, and then we were at the top of the horseshoe, because in scouting, a horseshoe ceremony is very special, and so we were both scouts. I was a Girl Scout. I got my gold ward.
That's right. I'm an Eagle Scout.
Yep. So I really wanted to do some non-traditional things that were meaningful to us, and that was one of the things that I really liked.
Yeah, and everything that we did, it was like a huge permission slip to everyone who came to just do that at their wedding too, or do whatever they wanted at their wedding. Because we were like, you want to get married in church? No. Am I going to wear a tuxedo with a collar? No. That's right. You don't need
power. We didn't have a bridal party because I'm an only child, and that meant that I would have to, like, pick from my friends or my cousins, and I love everybody so much. I didn't want to have to choose people, so I just wanted everybody to be there, and I feel like just by being there, you're in my bridal party. I don't need you to all wear matching dresses.
Yeah. And you had a real, like, you had a story about being in a bridal party wearing your matching dresses during a wedding.
Oh, yes, but but everybody's weddings are different. And
do you not want to?
No.
No, okay, never mind.
No, because okay. I love all the weddings that I've been invited to be a part of.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
You're afraid that somebody might be listening, being like, but what? You told me it was amazing.
It was amazing. I don't know what he's
saying. Never mind. Okay, never mind.
You know what? Distance and time make a person more mature as well. And I love all the weddings I've been invited to be a part of, and love is love, and yay.
Not me, man. I had a real thing with weddings. Weddings would give me panic attacks before I knew what a panic attack was.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it would send me there. And so I'd be sitting there at a table surrounded by other young people, some of the young people table, going out of my mind, just wishing I could be anywhere but there, but feeling like powerless to move or do anything or say anything, and just like wishing, like praying for either death or just that it was over, because either one would be acceptable when you're in a panic attack. Yeah.
But we had puppets at our wedding, and that was so nice. We had a giant puppet bird that was puppeteered by Melissa Creighton.
That's right.
And she led everyone in a parade procession from the ceremony to the reception, which was through some abandoned buildings by...
Yeah, in a mental...
Like outside.
Old abandoned mental asylum.
You didn't go inside the abandoned buildings.
That would have been cool, though. We could have had, like, little scenes happening in
the
rooms.
I'm not sure that people are as into that kind of thing as we are, but...
No,
but
our friends were.
Yes, but I will say that there were so many aspects of the wedding that were very representative of us and the things that we're really into. And
on our invitation, it was like puppets and video games. Mm-hmm. Those were our things.
Yes, and this was before Chad was a puppeteer.
That's right.
Yes, pre-puppeteer.
Yeah, that's right. I wasn't like one of those like you.
What?
They're like born puppeteers. They're like, this is what I want to do.
I didn't know.
I am a puppeteer. Look at all my references of things that I've been obsessed with since I was a child. I was born to do it. This is destiny.
I will say
I'm just along for the ride.
I cried watching a fellow puppeteer's show today because I just love puppetry so much. I was so happy. We watched the Puppet Show Places live stream.
Sarah Nolan do a piece from the Fairy
I don't
Taylor.
Know. I think... Every once in a while lately, I just get overcome by the situation and, like, the people and, like, the resilience of my friends and how awesome everyone is. And the opening sequence of the Puppet Show Place's live stream, because if you don't know, the Puppet Show Place is super special.
Mm-hmm.
They are this amazing gem of a theater in Boston, Massachusetts, specifically in the Brookline area on Station Street. And they are the first theater that I ever performed in as a professional puppeteer. Like, I got paid. It was my very first paying job. And I love that theater so much. I have so many memories in that theater. And it's like, when I walk into that theater, I can see, like, not... Like, I can see, like, the spiritual representation of the memories in the space, like, how you feel when you go home to a place that you've had so many wonderful moments in. Like, I feel that way about the O'Neill Theater Center in Connecticut. I feel this way about the Puppet Show Place. I feel that way a little bit about grad school. And I'm sure if we were to ever leave this apartment, I would feel that way about this apartment. Because it's just...
We've been here, you know, 14 years.
Yes, a long time. So I was watching the opening clip, and they filmed it in a very Mr. Rogers style type of opening with this beautiful, like, Glockenspiel type of music. And then it's as if you're, like, first person walking into the theater, like, through the front door, through the lobby, looking at the puppets for sale, behind the curtain into the seating area, sitting down, ready to watch. And I just got overcome with emotion. And Chad was like, "Are you okay?" And I was like, "I just really love puppetry." So, if you were ever wondering, like, does she really like puppets that much? Yes.
Yes.
I do. I really do. And I'm just so proud of so many of our friends who are, I'm just getting emotional out talking about it. I'm so proud of so many of our friends who are learning so much right now and really trying to bring the technology to their work and not just like heave a sigh and say, "Well, that's just not what we do," and wait. I was so pleased to get to see a show I've never seen before by Sarah Nolan. She's so talented, and I don't know. I think Ready? That there's so much good stuff happening.
We have a special guest on our podcast. There she is, ladies and gentlemen. If you're watching on Facebook or YouTube, it's our cat, Aura. She adopted us a couple years back. Will she stay? Who knows?
Come here. She wants to come to me.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Oh, don't go up there, though. No.
Go up there, the microphone is not.
No, so I will say, Roxy, who is the artistic director of the Puppet Showpiece Theater, she killed it.
She did such a good job.
She was awesome. Yeah. Yeah, and, you know, after I was texting her, saying, like, "Great job, you know. Maybe bump the volume and the music up a little bit." But otherwise, I was really impressed with the presentation. It's really what it needs to be.
It looked so good. It sounded so good.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. What I've been thinking about lately, and they must have a USB mixer because they got her awesome Countryman mic to go right into the streams. Great.
Sounded
great. We haven't gone that far yet because our directional mic is good enough, so we don't have to buy anything new. But I've been thinking a lot lately, and speaking of like puppets and stuff, about one of the feedback, the audience feedback that we talked about when we did our postmortem for the National Puppet Slam. So we did this National Puppet Pandemic, so we called it, and it was a slam, so we called it the National Slamdemic. Ibex ran it. I was part of the tech crew. We worked on it for like a couple. Some of those ladies were working on it for weeks. I came in for like a week and a half to support them because I've turned into, I guess, this tech streaming guru, or at least like
I know
a couple things. You know, I know a couple things.
We're still learning, though. I mean, we're constantly learning stuff. Every week we're trying something new.
I'm not a guru, but I know a couple things.
And don't
I
can, go up there,
and
honey.
I can talk like with confidence about things. So. Anyway, I'm happy to be there for people, and we'll talk about another thing that didn't go so well. So, National Slam went awesome. We've talked about this in a previous podcast, but some of the audience were saying they couldn't. They thought it was all pre-recorded because it went so smoothly. It went so well. It went too well that they're like, we would cut to a piece, and the piece would pay out, would play out. You know, like amazing and smooth and without a hitch. And then boom, we cut back to our host, Bo Brown. And people in the chat were like, did they just play a movie? Like they didn't understand. So, or they just, you know, they're so used to like, oh, you can easily just play a movie in this thing. So clearly, because it went so well, or even if it was just like a couple mistakes, you know, they probably just like took a couple takes of it and were like, "Yeah, it's good enough," and threw it in the can. I've been thinking about how to showcase to people that you are alive. Even if you're, you know, in a booth or like Sarah Nolan today, you're just playing up to the camera.
I think the chat aspect is one way because, you know, like if you guys ask us a question right now, we'll answer it.
Yeah, ask anything and we'll prove right now.
We're live!
And we're live. or at least, you know, if you're watching this live. Man,
cat hair everywhere. Clearly summer's coming because she is shedding.
I don't think she's ever stopped shedding, though. Yeah. So, one of the things that Bo was saying was, you know, I need to see the chat or I need to see people. Like if we're in Zoom, I want to see people. Or I want to have the chat because that's the only way I can interact with people and show them that it's live. I think there's more ways you can show them it's live. Like, if you start live, like if I start like in front of the camera, like what we do, and then I circle around to the back of the booth and then go in and start the show, and you can hear me do it, it proves it's live, right? I feel like that's a proof. Like, if you see somebody looking at the camera and it's not just an act, and they're like talking about like stuff that's happening that morning, and then circle around like the stage or whatever and continue the show, boom, it's live.
Mm-hmm.
So Sarah Nolan's piece, because there was that video, the beautiful video intro, and then they cut to her, I felt like, oh, maybe this is one of the situations where you have to prove somewhere, you'd like to prove to the audience that you're live. And how can we do that? After the show, there's a great Q&A, you know, that kind of showed them like, I don't know, she was actually performing and there's no cuts and now she's doing a Q&A. But I wonder, like, what are some other, like, ideas that we could come up with as a community to showcase, let's say, mm-hmm. that this is live, you know, like, no matter what. And it doesn't mean, like, messing up or, you know, like, reading the exact time code, like, it's exactly 9:30 right now, p.m. EST. You know, like, so maybe collectively we could figure out, you know, some ideas. By the way, right now, let's answer these questions.
Yeah.
What's your favorite dessert from Mr. Brian Carson?
Okay.
Who, by the way, is a huge fan of sundaes. We have split sundaes, like, I think, like, Mountain Dew and vanilla ice cream.
Uh-huh.
Like, one time.
Yeah.
Which, my man, Mountain Dew, give me that yellow-colored sugar water any day. What's your favorite dessert?
Me?
Yeah, point blank. Boom. Just don't think about it. Just shout it out.
Hot pie with cold ice cream on top. Preferably really good vanilla ice cream and strawberry rhubarb pie hot.
I was going to say hot pie. Is that like a hot pocket?
No. Like heated. Like,
you put
not cold.
Ice cream on top of a hot pocket?
I like hot and cold dessert together.
Mm.
Like a hot brownie with cold ice cream.
Mm.
Yeah. But pie.
Hot awesome.
Pie.
Let's see. Riobina says, why is a raven like a writing desk? You know, C.S. Lewis was just like, I don't know, he was kind of reaching. He's trying to be nonsensical. I don't know, man. I mean, clearly there's a lot of rhetorical poetry in there. Like, I don't think there's actually supposed to be an answer
to that.
All
right, we gotta answer Jesse's.
Oh, what's
he's
he,
my,
what's
he's
he say?
My buddy.
Yes, Jesse says.
He says, what's your favorite performing, building, behind the camera, etc.? So what's your favorite, Chad?
Favorite what?
Like, to do.
Do.
Yeah,
oh.
Performing. Do you like building? Do you like behind the camera?
Oh, well,
what's your favorite?
Let me tell you, being in front of the camera is way less stressful than being behind the camera. And when you have to do both, then you get all the stress, which is what we do when we stream. No, being behind the camera, you're responsible for every single little thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's been nice. We have to say goodbye to nice for a second because we've figured everything out here and we can, you know, we have a system for hooking everything up every single time. And we get to put all that away and throw it into our car and set it up in a performing arts center across the state soon. And we get to figure out a new normal.
But maybe it means we get to keep our stage up like all the time. I don't know, but
we'll
that might
see.
Be nice. That could be nice.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll check out the space. It's a brand new space, so that's nice. So you
don't
have to worry about like a rickety old building with bugs, you know, and stuff like that.
I'm gonna answer.
Go ahead.
My favorite is performing. I love to perform. It's like my favorite thing. I have a hard time memorizing lines, so that is tricky for me. But if given enough time and space to get it in my brain, then I love when I already know all the things and I can just relax into it and just have fun and improvise a little bit. I also do really love building, and my favorite is when I don't have to worry about what time. Aura, quiet. She's just meowy tonight.
She wants her pets.
She does. She's like, why aren't you giving me attention? But I love when I don't have to worry about what I'm doing the next day, which is a thing that having kids makes a lot more difficult, is that you're constantly aware of, oh, I have to wake up early, or they have to go someplace, or they're going to be up, so I'm going to need to be functional. So if you're in a zone and you're like getting stuff done and all of a sudden you look over and it's 2 a.m., you know, old me would be like, who cares? And keep going because you're in it and you're like making something and it's happening. You don't know how, but it is like hand of God coming through, happening, things are jiving. But nowadays, sometimes you have to be like, hopefully I can find this again tomorrow because I need at least 5 hours of sleep. And then you have to walk away. So that I love to build and have those moments, those like zone out, oh my gosh, what just happened? Look at this amazing thing I made moment. But I really love performing and I love doing characters that are like really intense and fun. Like either super evil or super funny or, you know, like one extreme or the other.
That's so interesting because like normally like I write stuff into the scripts.
Yes.
And you're like, no. No, it can't be too over the top. We need like to be grounded. It needs to be sweet.
Oh, yes. You know? Yes. But I also love performing Haman in our Purim shows because he is evil. And so you get to be like, yeah. Evil. So that's the best.
But he's like Z evil, though. He's not like the way we portray him. Like, he's not like kick a puppy evil, you know, in our show. He's
no,
because like,
that's
you know,
too mean.
Saturday morning cartoon evil. Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's see. Brian also says, two camera angles, one feed in the front, one backstage. Let's do this. Let's say boom, 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 boom. It's like camera angles. Boom, boom. Oh, my goodness. Yeah, let's stick with that one. Okay.
But he's saying you could show the magic behind the stage of you performing.
Eh. You know what? Everyone's got opinions, right? My opinion is I don't want to show people how it's done. I dislike doing a Q&A after the show, like, and, you know, bringing on a puppet. Okay, everybody, this is how I did the puppet. You know, because it kind of ruins the mystique of the character.
Feel the same
that's
way. Yeah.
Good because we're in the same company.
Yeah.
it ruins the mystique, it ruins the magic, and to watch Sarah Nolan bring out her little red puppet and like show you the back and stuff today, like after the show, is not a knock at all, because some people like, hey, but if the venue says do it, you got to do it.
That's right.
You know? But watching it made me feel like, well, my opinion is different, and I just feel like, you know, after the show, it's like what we do is we make a compromise. We don't go into our Q&A unless the client specifically asked for it. What we do is we wait. Say hi, you know, shake hands, kiss babies, and then after a couple minutes in like a theater setting, if somebody comes up and is like, can I see so-and-so?
Backstage.
Or, no, well, it's or, like, can I see this character?
Uh-huh.
Or can I see backstage? Then I'm just like, I do one of these. I'm like, come on. Like, this
make
is a
it
secret
special.
Thing.
Make yeah. it special.
So in that way, and like lead him into the back mm-hmm. and if we're doing a booth show, just say, open up the curtains and they're like, wow. And it's something that only they got to see. Because a lot of people just want to get out of there, you know, especially family audiences. You got stuff to do. You don't know how long your kids are going to be mature for.
Yeah.
You know, so it's like it's just adding to the time. Sometimes adding to your time is a good thing if you have a specific time request from the client. But other times it's just like, God, you know, it's like, all right, the show's over. Kids are getting restless. Come on. I got to go get some lunch.
Yeah.
You know, we got to get on those school buses. So if somebody wants to stick around and wants like a private tour, awesome. That means people have already left. The people who wanted to leave got out of there. The people who wanted to stay. And that's my philosophy for doing Q&As after the show.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So let's talk about... I didn't get it up.
What are we talking about?
We're talking about 10... So it's 10 weeks, 10 years we've been living here. Let's talk about what happened 10 years ago.
What happened 10 years ago? It was our first year of our puppetry company, and Chad kept a journal from our first couple years of performing together. And
up until it got boring.
Yeah, and then we stopped. But
up until it's like, up until we had made all the mistakes possible, and we had refined what we did, and there was nothing new that felt like journal worthy.
Uh-huh.
You know, and then we're just like, yep, another one in the bank. Boom. You know, do we need to journal that one? I don't know. What? It went well again. Dear diary, it went smooth.
I mean, that's kind of true. We learned a lot in the first few years of performing family audiences.
We're not quite at the scatting robot dragon.
Today is the 24th.
Yeah, so... So let's see. Let's talk about Kids Zone TV today.
Okay.
So, yeah. I've been thinking about them a lot lately.
They've been doing such good work.
Yeah, so the Mount Sinai Kravis Children's Hospital up in the Upper East Side. So, I think it's like a East 100th Street at 5th Avenue. They're right on Central Park. It's an amazing hospital. They have a really great program for the children that come in. And it's like, it covers all aspects. But mm-hmm. they have people specifically there to create programming on TV. They have a live TV studio that's in their the first floor that broadcasts live to every single TV. If you choose to, you know, like watch that. You could watch like movies or TV or whatever. But you could watch live TV programming too. And they'd run a lot of game shows. And 10 years ago...
And a lot of these kids can't leave their rooms because of whatever they're going through medically. And so they can call in and participate live from their room to the live TV set on the first floor. And the child life specialists that work at Mount Sinai Kravis are just so amazing and have done so many amazing things with these kids over the years.
Yeah, they're really, it's really something special. And they undergo through all this training, like even the, we had to go through training too, but like, HIPAA. You know, the language that you use when talking to kids, the things you can say, things you can't say.
Right.
And it's a vital service because not just for kids who need like programming or entertainment, but for their families too. Sometimes like a family member will call in because the child actually can't, speak or talk on the phone or something. Or the family member is the only one awake, but they need something to do, you know, to be entertained. Or it's just the stress of having your child in a hospital, which is crazy stress. You need a release. You need to forget about it, you know, and laughter is medicine, you know. Mm-hmm. So we plugged into that early on by our friend Alyssa Honeycutt.
That's right. She was a puppet coordinator there for some time. And was always talking about how great it was and recommended that we check it out. And we did. And mm-hmm. we really loved it. So we both became registered volunteers with the hospital.
Yeah. And back in those days, we had to go to the hospital like back and forth, like into Manhattan to get vetted, you know, and like and then back to get our IDs, you know,
make
like
sure
photos
all our
taken.
Vaccines and shots are up to date.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And throughout the years, like whenever there was like... you know, eventually I had to come in with a doctor's note that said that I got my flu shots. Now, you know, I'm sure that, you know, the requirements for going in are like, you have to undergo like more training,
yes.
more shots. And then once that vaccine comes out, you know, you'll have to get that to go in.
Yeah.
So 10 years ago, March 18th or May 18th.
May 18th.
2010, Kids Zone TV, Z and I... became official volunteers at Mount Sinai Children's Hospital this week after many tests, shots, and exams. We are thrilled to work in the TV station doing live TV for the kids upstairs who are long-term patients. I later discovered that they try and get the kids out of there if possible. They do have some longer-term patients, and it's always serious. I mean, there's kids with cancer, there's kids with all mm-hmm. kinds of... infectious diseases.
But there's also a certain amount of kids that come back. Like they leave
yes.
and then they come back. So you start to recognize some of them as well.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And there's some kids that don't make it. You know, not everybody exits the hospital.
Yeah.
The woman who runs the program now, like her first month, a kid died. And she was like, that was a sobering lesson to just remind myself, like, you can't get too attached. Anyway, we went in and did a silly puppet game show.
Yes.
Said tonight was our second round of Puppets versus People, where Z, Alyssa, and I tried to guess real and fake answers to quiz questions. It ended 4-10 people.
People won.
Yeah, people should always win. I think that was the whole point. But it was, look at that. Channel 78 on your hospital TV. 6:30 p.m. Call 44800 from your hospital phone.
That's right. We would go around to the different rooms with our puppets and flyer with these little pieces of paper, reminding people to tune in to watch the show. Because, you know, again, it's a hospital, so you have different people coming in every day, different people coming in at different times of the day. So they might not know yet that we were streaming Roxy you should back up and listen to all the wonderful things we said about you earlier, because we were singing your praises, my love. It was just awesome today. Roxy Myram, the artistic director from Puppet Show Place, is watching the stream, and that's why I said hi. Dan Gilman wants to know, what platform are you streaming from?
We are streaming, we're using, I have a Mac, so we're using Ecamm Live, Ecamm with two M's. Which, unlike OBS or Streamlabs OBS, is super easy and user-friendly. We're going from Ecamm into Restream, restream.io, which takes your video stream and splits it for you, so you don't have to do double the bandwidth to stream to YouTube and Facebook. It just does it for you, so you just have one bandwidth leaving your place. Mm-hmm. And it automatically generates subtitles. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But YouTube does too. So if you're going to stream with subtitles, definitely YouTube.
Yeah. And back to Kidzone TV, Chad has continued to volunteer with Kidzone. The last time I was a fully registered volunteer was 2012. So I volunteered consistently for a little over 2 years. And then once we had our first baby in 2013, I had to step back from doing that. But Chad has continued monthly to perform and... We're just so happy to still be involved. And they have a really inspirational Facebook page. So if you want to see some of the amazing work that the child life specialists there have been doing, look up Mount Sinai Kravis Children's Hospital on Facebook, and you can see some of the awesome stuff. Like recently, I got to see them giving a huge celebration outside for one of the younger patients who had had COVID and then beat it. And he crushed it. That's right. He crushed COVID is what they said.
They had big signs. And
they were all singing Here Comes the Sun and like cheering for him as he laughed. And it was so emotional. Oh my gosh.
They really all came together. You know, and it's so, it makes me so happy to see it. And so look them up on social media, Mount Sinai, Kravis with a K, Children's Hospital or KZTV. It's a little early. This one's from June 8th, but
don't give it away. We can save that for next week.
Okay.
Yeah, let's fine. Save it.
Wow,
save
look at that.
It. Well, because, you know,
but it's another one
there's going to be another podcast on Sunday, next Sunday, so why not?
It's another one about the hospital, a very emotional moment. But we would go around, like she said, and flyer,
yes.
And we would go into rooms where there was an infectious disease, and you had to...
Put on your mask.
They had masks, mm-hmm. They had gloves, they have goggles, too?
No, but sanitizer...
Yeah.
And we couldn't go, it was a no droplet zone, so you couldn't go beyond the curtain even. You could wave with your puppet hand, wave mm-hmm. and stuff. And yeah, I mean, now that the boys are older, now we have a 5-year-old and a 7-year-old, I feel like, well, maybe I could go back and volunteer again once everything calms down a little bit.
We'll
you know?
See. I mean, it was a monthly gig for me for 10 years, I would go in once a month.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Very consistent. I would go to different places and get dinner because that was part of, I was like, you know what? I'm giving something to the community. You know, it's the volunteering. I want dinner. So I would always go to this one sub place that hired like ex-cons or felons or something. You know, it's like all
time. How do you know?
Because
did
you
they
just,
say it?
You just know.
Okay.
I'm not saying that is not a slight. I didn't say like
Chad
what
worked
color.
In corrections a little bit. So I guess Chad just knows.
You just know.
Okay.
What else could I say?
I don't know.
If the guy with the terrible attitude who has not been there long, behind the counter with tattoos, and is looking at you a certain way, they might have been to prison. Consider also that the majority of inmates in New York State are from this city.
Yes, that's fine. I didn't.
And they may be working.
I don't
in
ever
like,
think.
You know.
I never. It's just not part of my
brain. You don't need a BFA, let's say, to go and make sandwiches at a deli.
But people who have BFAs could.
This is true. This is not a knock anybody. I'm just saying that, like, Yet once you've worked in corrections,
where is this conversation going, Chad?
I don't know. But it did get me out of jury duty once, having worked in corrections. So, yeah. Yay. Yippee.
Yes, and your connection to working in corrections will always get me out of jury duty as well. Hopefully. Not that I want to get out of jury duty. I would have been happy to do jury duty, but I'm actually not allowed because of the family ties to corrections.
So you just got to name drop a little bit. See how long that takes us. Hospital, jury duty.
What are we talking about?
I've been doing tech for Zoom for a bunch of different places.
Yes.
So the National Slamdemic, I was their audio guy. I was their overall tech guy, and we had our post-mortem. Didn't realize it was going to be with everybody because I'm not part like an official part of the IBEX team. They're so amazing. IBEX are great. They have like all their ducks in a row. All their dukes. But when I joined the Zoom call for the post-mortem, including everybody, it was like 100 people. It was like all the people who run slams are looking to them for like, this is how you should do it.
The model.
Here's a PowerPoint presentation about how we did it. Mm-hmm. And going on from there. I left that call early to go run tech for a different slam, or I should say like a different evening, that ultimately was like completely stressful and crazy, and it did not go super well or as planned, but we got through it, but man, it was like the complete opposite. So the National Slamdemic, it was like we teched with people for hours, like broke it up over days, you know, got people to a certain comfortability level with just their own equipment and streaming. And, you know, made choices about like, all right, you're going to play the audio. You're going to do the switcher. You know, like we had like a team of five people behind the scenes. It was amazing. Then I went to this other experience where it was like, okay, I'm the tech person. People aren't showing up on time. We're like, where's this person? We don't know. What can you call them? They're in Dubai. And it's like 3 a.m. right now. And I don't have their phone number. I'm sorry. It's like, everything about it was like, and then somebody would join the call midway and be like, hello, can you hear me? In the middle of like, you know, a beautiful performance, like, oh, no. This is so amazing. Hello, I'm trying to get through. Can anybody hear me? Like, no, mute.
Oh, no.
And I couldn't make the actual rehearsal. So I was reading the notes of the person who actually did the tech rehearsal, detailed notes. But still, you can't save, you can't help somebody to join in on time if they're, you know, on a completely different side of the planet, unfamiliar with their own tech. They're streaming from their phone, which is different than streaming from your desktop. So it's like, it's hard to be able to find the chat controls also. It was just like, it took us an hour to get this one guy who in to do his thing.
Oh boy.
And the whole time I just kept on having to like, mute. Like, wait, I was like, my finger was on the trigger of the mute button waiting for him to like figure out how to unmute himself, because that's all he could do. We couldn't see his video.
I have, you know, what?
All of a sudden was like, hello, can you hear me? Nope. the whole
man.
We got through it and the audience will never know. I hope. We did get banned by Facebook by playing a copyright music that we didn't test ahead of time. Always stream your music or your video or whatever you're going to play on a fake Facebook page ahead of time and see if you get flagged. Okay. We totally got flagged and we got shut down. All of a sudden, our viewers went to like 3. I was like, ooh, what happened? And then we had to stop the stream, restart the stream.
Oh my gosh.
But we learn a lot?
I heard.
Yes, we did.
I heard some of this happening. and the kids were like, we want that book from the bedroom. And I was like, no, we can't go in there right now.
No, it's a war zone. It's a war zone. And everybody kept telling me, oh man, you sound so calm. Thank goodness. What? What? Why am I the calm one? You know, it's like, can we all? No, it was crazy. And thank you so much to the people who brought me in. We all learned things.
Yes.
I had to do things that I'd never done before on Zoom, you know, which is crazy.
All of us, I think, can say that after this, after this and collective experience, we have all done things on Zoom we've never
done before.
That we're not proud of. I had a Zoom moment in the last week as well. So I remember at the beginning of the podcast, I said I was leading a board meeting on Zoom. And I was under this funny assumption that if you are sharing your screen, you know, and I was sharing a screen of, you know, the different PDFs that we're using for this meeting, that no one can see me, right? Because I'm sharing my screen. So why would my camera still be showing me and the screen if I wouldn't? So I've been standing for this meeting. It's about, it went almost 3 hours. And Chad has a standing desk, but this setup is where Chad usually does his work. And so I was here where Chad works. And I've been having lower back issues the last couple of months because, I don't know, stress and age. So I was stretching while people were looking at the different PDFs. And I was just like, it's fine because no one can see me.
Mm-hmm. Like little cheesecakey pin-up poses, like, you know, like one of those. Like,
I know, I'm just like, you know, and I'm not doing like a smiley face. Like, I'm listening. I'm like, and then I watch the video back to do the. No, I wasn't digging for gold, but I watched the video back to do the minutes from the meeting, and I can see myself, like, at one point jumping silently up and down in the background, and I'm just like, oh, my God, why did somebody not say, Z, are you okay? We can see you. Did you know we can see you?
No, you're part of the entertainment. That's, no. Like, 3-hour meeting's a no. long time.
No one said a thing.
You know, get you.
And I even talked to one of our board members afterwards because he was saying that he was having some technical difficulties on his end. And I said, well, I didn't even know that you guys could see me. And he's like, oh, yeah, I noticed you bobbing around back there a lot. I just thought, oh, no.
That was our problem, too. To do a split screen in Zoom, you can do it, but no one in the webinar with you can see it. They can't even see themselves if they're on the mobile client. It's boggled my brain. Like, the host is the only person who can see what the audience is seeing. And sometimes if you're streaming on your phone, that's your camera, that's your monitor, and you have no other way of seeing the feed or anything else. You know, so a lot of people were flying blind.
Yeah.
And just trusting, waiting to hear somebody, because then they knew that maybe they were connected. God. Yeah.
It's so crazy.
Oh, man.
Oh, this will all get, yeah. I mean, but what's interesting, I keep thinking about what are some of the things that will be sticking around after this. And I do think that these online meetings will be staying in some capacity for the near future, because it has made this kind of distance between people feel a lot less, because you can really see them in real time and actually communicate and have a full meeting without people having to leave and give up multiple days of their life. It's not the same. Right. But
like in New York City, it takes an hour to get anywhere,
mm-hmm.
you know? So if you have to go into town to go to a meeting, or literally, even if we went somewhere in Queens, it'd take an hour. That's 2 hours total in travel. You know, if you just eliminated that, it'd be, I mean, that's a lot of your time back.
And we will continue once phase four has come into play and there's a vaccine and everyone is safe again, we will continue to do live performance, because that is the thing that feeds our soul. We love performing live. But it is interesting to think about some of the different aspects that will be, you know, altered and updated. Because forced to be updated in some ways because of this, you know? And so that's interesting to think about. Anything else that you want to talk about for today?
I mean, that was a lot of what I wanted to talk about. I mean, like, yeah. tech nightmares. 10 years ago, Roxy wants to put out a plug for the Haley House in Boston.
Haley House.
Which
intentionally provides employment for folks out of prison and has the best Word. Scones ever.
In prison, food is terrible. Outside of prison, you can make a mean sandwich and provide that if you were working behind the counter. Just saying, there's this one deli. You just gotta believe me.
Yeah.
A free side, we're just like, okay.
Well, good. I mean, you should support a place that wants to give work to people who need work.
Absolutely. And and I am all for, giving rights back to people once mm-hmm. they've come out of prison. You can't just discard people. You can't just be like, well, you did this awful thing, so now the rest of your life is going to be like terrible, and mm-hmm. you can't get a job, and you can't, you know, like all the things we say that people can't do, and people get completely stigmatized. This country is completely backwards in that aspect, and we should be. In the places that I worked at, we're all about reforming the system and decreasing recidivism, which is people coming back into prison. But I think everybody in prison or in corrections understands that it starts with giving people work, giving people jobs. Yeah. You know, that's how you create less poor people, is by giving people work, you know, figuring out a way through government programs or for whatever to make sure that people's lives are less terrible. And then they won't turn to, let's say, hopefully not, will turn to crime,
mm-hmm.
you know, or if you're growing up poor, you know, like that's where the interventions need to happen.
Actually, you know, I was listening to Democracy Now! I think it was last week, and Andrew Solomon, who has written this amazing book called Far From the Tree, and some other really well-known essays and books about depression and mental health, he was on Democracy Now! Talking about mental health. And one of the things that really stuck with me that he said was how if you are in a situation where you should be happy, you have enough, you have the things that you need to provide joy and happiness in your life, and you are still not happy, then it is easy to recognize that you might have a mental health problem.
Mm.
You know, that something is wrong that could be addressed, and that you should go to somebody and talk to them about it. And maybe you have depression or bipolar or whatever, but some kind of mental health problem. It's much easier to realize that when you're in a situation where everything around you is pretty okay. It is a lot harder to recognize that you have a mental health problem if everything around you is stressful and difficult all the time because of your financial situation, because of your physical situation, like where you are. And so, you know, he was talking about how you have these high poverty, low income areas with a lot of people who are also probably suffering from mental health problems, who don't even realize that they have a problem because their day-to-day is already so difficult. Of course they're going to feel horrible, but maybe they wouldn't have to feel quite so horrible, but they wouldn't even know that something else is going on.
Right. So we'll say that like recognizing you have a problem is kind of like, could be like a privileged position.
Yes, absolutely. That's exactly the position that he was kind of coming at it from.
Mm.
And that has stuck with me since he said it. I remember, I think I actually rewound it and watched it again because I mean, it all makes sense, but when somebody just puts it into words and strings those sentences all together in a way that is just like so comprehensible that it's just like, yes, I've always thought that, but you said it. You said it out loud, and I agree. It was like so meaningful. So if you want to look that up, Andrew Solomon speaking on Democracy Now!, and also just about how we collectively need to be looking out for each other mentally, for each other's mental health. If Jesse, Averna, if you're still watching this podcast, I've been so appreciative of all of your posts every day. Jesse has been posting on his personal page a lot of really positive things, basically saying that you're appreciated. I see you. I acknowledge that things are difficult.
He had that video that was like that with the puppet, right? That was like, hey, look at that.
Like, oh, I don't remember that.
Oh man, it was on today. It was so good.
I didn't see it.
Like, hey guys, have you seen this? And the puppet comes in and it's like, that is a remarkable human being. Like, this person's amazing.
Highly positive reminders that you are important. Don't let the swamp of sadness get you down. Don't be Artax the horse. And
Artax came back at the end.
He did. That's all I'm saying. That was magical. But I always think of Artax.
Poor Artax.
The swamp of sadness, man. So Jesse is like my fellow fighter against the swamp of sadness. Yeah. And by the way, Art Gruneberger, if you're watching, I have been watching some really interesting videos about Disney World right now because, you know, Disney Shanghai has reopened and Disney Springs has reopened in Walt Disney World. And I have found it very interesting.
Disney Springs is like the mall, right?
Yes, it's the mall. Yeah. Okay. But still, it's part of like the park in a sense. Mm-hmm. And I think of the park as a giant theatrical experiment. And so when we are thinking about how will our spaces reopen, how will we as performers want to be treated when we go into these spaces? What is the level of protocol that we should demand, that we should expect, and that we should, that is a minimum? Like, what's amazing? What has to happen? And like, what needs to be in place in order for us to even step inside? And so I've been so interested watching what Disney's been doing, because I just feel like it's really telling for what might be happening in different areas of entertainment here in the city. As much as they can, we have a space issue here in New York City. Everything is tight. Everything is close together. We don't have a lot of outdoor space. You know, Disney World, lots of things are outdoors. So that's a positive for them. Whereas here, you know, you have the best tiny little restaurant in the world and everybody crams in, you know, and it's like we can't put, you know, mannequins at half the tables or
no, or capybaras.
Yes, I was trying to think of the word, like stuffed capybara toys.
Although, like, they're changing up some of the zoning in some cities so that all the restaurants can be outside now. They're going to get rid of cars, which I guess is a good thing. What's Art's company?
Puppet Art, out of Sacramento.
You got to watch Puppet Art because Art is one of the leaders of the puppet streamers right now, who does amazing things with StreamYard, and his stuff looks and sounds professional, and he really put the time in to polish up his stuff before he took it online. Super smart and amazing guy and a good friend.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I want to leave you guys.
What are we leaving them with?
So,
hi, Karen.
Hi, Karen. up on my wall, I have a bunch of quotes because when I started really getting serious about the business and we started bringing in contract workers, mm-hmm. you know, like building up the team, I had to take management courses and had to think really hard about like how I was dealing with people because sometimes I could not be a people person at all.
Oh, Chad.
At all. Yay. And that's,
but we
and
love
that's
you.
Totally fine.
We
Thanks.
Love you.
So, one of the quotes I put up on the wall that I feel like applies to our situation, because a lot of puppeteers are quitting. Mm. A lot of puppeteers are like, you know what? I tried. It's not working. I'm quitting.
They're quitting the art form?
No, just like quitting streaming.
Oh, quitting streaming.
They're just like going to go hide in their cave.
Or maybe have a mini personal residency.
Yeah,
which is totally valid.
You know, just well, but I'm talking specifically about like we. My philosophy is take baby steps. You know, if it seems overwhelming, take just like learn one thing. Take 1 hour. Do one thing per day. Mm-hmm. If you look back like a week or a month from now, you'll be like, "Wow, I've come so far." You know, take one little step a day to get you where you want to go. And we've come really far, and we're gonna keep going. We're gonna keep pushing the envelope, like a lot of our friends out there. Like Sarah Nolan, like Hart Gruenberger, mm-hmm. like other
Liz
streaming.
Joyce is doing some great streaming stuff.
Mm-hmm. And yeah. a lot of people.
Goat on a Boat Puppet Theater.
A lot of people that the Goat is presenting, also mm-hmm. taking those steps.
And Brad Scher, Paper Heart Puppets.
Mm-hmm. Joining us there.
I saw Lionheart Puppets doing a streaming show today. There's just so many great things happening.
At the same time, a lot of people are running into real technical walls, you know, like big walls. Like a friend of ours, all of a sudden Facebook just stopped working for them, and they're like, why can't I post anything on my page? And nobody knows. Ugh. And Google searches, you know, it's like, it's so frustrating. They wanted to throw their iPad out the window. But I will say, I've been there too. We've all been there, you know, especially when it comes to tech, which can be like as black magic as you like. But Here's the quote. Quitting is the easiest thing in the world to get good at.
And who said it?
JR, Jim, good old Jim Ross.
Jim Ross?
From the wrestling world.
Not Jim Rose?
No, sadly.
Oh, I always thought it was Jim Rose.
No.
Oh.
Unfortunately, but Jim Rose, full of a bunch of one-liners and quips and wisdom. But so quitting is the easiest thing in the world to get at. That means like...
To get good at.
To get good at. So if you quit at one thing, you know, it seems like real easy, real tempting to quit. If you do that, you're opening yourself up to, you know, quitting at this or quitting at that. Or, you know, if it seems like too hard, well, yeah, just like... You're not going to get to where you want to go if you give up. So even if you just have to, like, step away and come back tomorrow, sleep on it, you know, if you're really frustrated in the moments, you know, take a breath, take a walk, do something, but don't give up. You know, if you give up, you're going to give up on all these other things, too. You got to keep going. Take baby steps. One small thing at a time. We're all... experiencing the same kind of frustrations and anxiety were with you, you know, don't give up. You know, we didn't give up, and a lot of our friends haven't given up, even though we hit a lot of the same, like, oh, I was pulling my hair out the first week because we lost our websites. The first week we were supposed to have a show, we told everybody, oh, come on over to our websites to donate on the very first week that we were streaming, and our website went down. And we were like, what is happening? It can't be down. We're supposed to ask for money this week. It can't be down. And so, like, I had, like less than a week to figure that out. And we kind of, like we had to switch over from wondersparkpuppets.com to wondersparkpuppets.org and send everybody there. And then after we had fixed everything, which took a lot of effort and work, tell everybody to come back to our regular website, and it costs money, and it's like all these awful, horrible things that I did not want to have to deal with. I just wanted to deal with the aspect of streaming the show.
I blocked it out because it was so stressful.
At the end of all the streaming stuff, like all the tech stuff, all the streaming stuff that I had to deal with, I still had to perform.
I know.
All that.
And that was when we were doing the performances in the living room where the sun would go behind a cloud and then everything would suddenly get dark. And, you know, you at home would probably be like, what happened? Why is it dark?
We had an intermission during the first show because something went wrong.
Oh, the camera, like, moved, or I don't remember.
No, I think it was the stream died, or the internet died, or we had a technical issue.
I don't remember.
Z had to come out and be like, hey, everyone.
Hey. So glad you're watching.
You know, a prop broker, something. So, but did we give up?
No,
we didn't. Neither should you. Just keep going. Like, so many people have the stories of exactly what's happening to you right now, that it's so hard. It's incredibly hard. But reach out if you have questions. Email us. Message us on Facebook. You know, we're here to help you. Art has been super helpful about, like, sharing everything he's learned about StreamYard. He put together, like, a StreamYard tutorial video being asked.
He's
just to
so
be like,
good.
here it is if you want this platform.
And, you know, I just, I feel like I've learned quite a bit about myself through some of my progress with decluttering, which sounds so silly, but I'm a huge proponent of this one woman's podcast, A Slob Comes Clean. Her name's Dana K. White, and she has this podcast. And anyway, the thing that I'm trying to get at is that one of the things that she talks about is progress no matter what, that sometimes our impetus is to go to the thing that needs a lot of work, right? And then you take everything out and then you spread it all out and you start making piles. And then you're like halfway through the project, or maybe not even, and you go, oh God, I'm tired and I don't know how I'm going to deal with this. And you walk away and then you have piles everywhere. It's more messy than it was when you started. And it's so stressful. And her thing is always progress no matter what. Don't take everything out and leave it everywhere. Take one thing and decide, where is that thing supposed to go? Or what is that? And I've really taken a lot of that advice and applied it to my own life a lot in terms of task management and thinking about how to get from the beginning of something to the end of something. And I think Chad can even attest that in the last few months, I have completed more things than I have, I think, probably completed in the last few years, because I've been really trying to go on the path of completion, and that I will do a little bit towards the end goal. And so I'm giving that to you as maybe some inspiration And if you have a clutter issue like I do, maybe you want to listen to Dana's podcast because it's pretty great.
What was it called?
A Slob Comes Clean. So I'm admitting that I have a clutter issue, but I think if any other puppeteers are listening, I see you. I see you, puppet people. So, but I really like her podcast.
Yay.
And she's a theater person, so she gets it.
Awesome. Well, yeah. On that note.
On that note.
Thanks for listening, everybody. We are the... Hey, happy anniversary.
Happy anniversary. We 12 years. Woo. Married. Married.
Yeah, 12. We are the Puppet Parent Podcast. You can listen to all of our episodes over at puppetparentpodcast.com. You can listen to us on Spotify, Overcast, Apple Podcasts, CastBox, Radio Public, Pocket Casts. You want to show them the websites?
Make it go.
There it is. There's that beautiful bean footage.
Look how happy we are.
Yay. Over at Breaker and Anchor, you can download... You can check out our RSS feed or just download the MP3s from wherever you steal your MP3s. I'm just giving them to you.
There's us and our kids.
That's right. Aww. Yay. So thanks so much, everybody. Next week, we're going to be in the middle of moving, but we're still going to do it because we want to be consistent. And Z will have stories coming back from the place we're moving to.
Yes.
About the first time that she scoped out, like, the place where we're going to be and
yes.
how it will be. And we're hoping, knock on everything, that it's going to be good news. And because we're moving literally the next day. So, yeah. So
no pressure.
We'll see you guys next
week. Okay, bye, everybody.
Bye.